Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. Democratic National Convention in Chicago. This is Democracy Now! War, peace, and the presidency breaking with convention.
Today, I watched my party say our tent can fit anti-choice Republicans, but it can't fit an elected official like me. I do not understand. I do not understand why being a Palestinian has become disqualifying in this country.
Uncommitted delegates are denied their request for a Palestinian American to speak on stage at the convention. They're staging a sit-in just outside the convention hall in protest. We'll hear some of their voices. Then Minnesota Governor Tim Walz accepts the Democratic nomination for vice president, criticizing the Trump-Vance Republican ticket.
And we know if these guys get back in the White House, they'll start jacking up the costs on the middle class. They'll repeal the Affordable Care Act. They'll gut Social Security and Medicare. And they will ban abortion across this country, with or without Congress.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. We're breaking with convention. I'm Amy Goodman. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz accepted the Democratic nomination for vice president Wednesday night in the third evening of the Democratic National Convention here in Chicago. Walz played up his time as a former high school football coach and outlined his achievements as governor.
We made sure that every kid in our state gets breakfast and lunch every day. So while other states were banning books from their schools, we were banishing hunger from ours.
The iconic talk show host Oprah Winfrey was the surprise speaker of the night. In her first speech ever at a political convention, Winfrey gave a ringing endorsement for Kamala Harris as president.
Soon and very soon, we're going to be teaching our daughters and sons about how this child of an Indian mother and a Jamaican father, two idealistic, energetic immigrants, how this child grew up to become the 47th president of the United States.
We'll have more from inside the Democratic National Convention later in the broadcast. Outside the United Convention Center, delegates from the Uncommitted Movement and their supporters launched a sit-in Wednesday night after the DNC and the Harris campaign refused to let a Palestinian American take the main stage despite allowing family members of Israeli American hostages to address the convention. We'll air clips from the sit-in, which is still ongoing, later in the broadcast. Earlier in the day, uncommitted delegates and progressive lawmakers gathered for an event outside the DNC. This is Minnesota's Congressmember Ilhan Omar.
Working tirelessly for a ceasefire is really not a thing, and they should be ashamed of themselves for saying such thing. Because we supply these weapons. So if you really wanted a ceasefire, you just stop sending the weapons. It is that simple.
Right.
In response to the Democratic Party's refusal to allow a Palestinian American to speak at the DNC, the group Muslim Women for Harris Walls announced it's disbanding, saying in a statement, "This is a terrible message to send to Democrats. Palestinians have the right to speak about Palestine," unquote. Protesters also took to the streets of Chicago Wednesday for more rallies calling for an end to U.S. support for Israel's war on Gaza. Climate activists are also at the convention this week to demand Democrats do more to address the climate catastrophe and divest from fossil fuels. On Wednesday, activists disrupted an event by Punchbowl News on the sidelines of the DNC that was sponsored by ExxonMobil. This is California delegate R.L. Miller.
I'm a Democratic
We'll have more on the climate crisis and climate activism at the DNC in the second hour of Democracy Now! As we expand our broadcast throughout this week from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. In Gaza, Israeli attacks continue to kill more Palestinians, with at least 22 reported deaths today. On Wednesday, at least 13 people were killed, including children, in an attack east of Khan Yunis. This is a father who lost his teenage son.
Oh, my son, Moody is dead. Moody is dead. They hit us and we're all destroyed. He was so precious to me, my oldest son, my darling son.
How old was he?
14 years old. He hasn't seen anything in his life. I went to buy him a rooster and left it on the floor. A mere 10 minutes later, we were hit. God rest your soul.
Another strike on a school acting as a shelter in Gaza City killed two people and injured 10 children. Meanwhile, a new report from Defense for Children International Palestine says Israeli forces are detaining and torturing Palestinian children in Gaza, using children as human shields and, quote, intentionally and systematically, unquote, separating children from their families. The report includes testimony of children survivors, including the case of many boys who were forced to strip naked and walk with their hands bound in front of Israeli tanks and bulldozers. The children are also beaten, denied water, and threatened with dogs. 16-year-old Abdul Minim says he was abducted with his younger brother Ali. He said he was barely able to move after Israeli forces blindfolded them, tied them up, and beat them with rifles before leaving them in the cold. On Wednesday, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken headed home after his latest visit to the region once again failed to secure a Gaza ceasefire. Blinken warned the failed plan may have been the chance to avert a broader regional war. Israel and Hezbollah continued to exchange cross-border fire Wednesday, with Israel targeting multiple areas across southern Lebanon and Hezbollah blasting over 50 rockets and a swarm of drones in the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights. Israel also killed a senior member of the Palestine Fatah movement in the southern Lebanese city of Sidon, claiming Khalil al-Makda has orchestrated attacks on Israeli forces in the West Bank. The Fatah party accused Israel of seeking to ignite a regional war. Meanwhile, President Biden spoke to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu Wednesday, and as a second U.S. aircraft carrier, the USS Abraham Lincoln arrived in the Middle East Wednesday as the U.S. bolsters forces in the region. The National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences has rejected an attempt by pro-Israel groups and Hollywood celebrities to rescind an Emmy nomination for the widely admired Palestinian journalist Bissan Alda. Alda, who's been reporting from the ground in Gaza since October, was nominated for her Al Jazeera Plus report, "It's Bissan from Gaza and I'm Still Alive," which chronicles her family's forced evacuation of their home in Beit Hanun. The pro-Israel group Creative Community for Peace and celebrities like Deborah Messing and Selma Blair accused Alda of spreading anti-Semitism, an accusation which has been widely used against anyone who opposes Israel's war on Gaza. Meanwhile, Israel's killed at least two more Gaza journalists in recent days. 26-year-old photojournalist Ibrahim Muharab was killed while covering ground invasions north of Khan Yunis Monday. In Gaza City, Hamza Abdulrahman Murtaja was one of the victims in Israel's attack on the Mustafa Hafez school this week. Hamza Murtaja was the brother of Yasser Murtaja, who was killed by an Israeli sniper in Gaza in 2018. Some 170 journalists and media workers have been killed in Gaza since October 7th, by far the largest death toll of media workers recorded in any war. Canada's two major rail freight companies have shut down after fouled negotiations with union leaders, bringing an unprecedented rail stoppage that threatens to disrupt the U.S.-Canada supply chain. Canadian National and Canadian Pacific Kansas City both locked out 10,000 of its employees as the companies refused to reach an agreement with the Teamsters Canada Rail Conference, which represents the workers. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau spoke Wednesday.
My message is very straightforward. It is in the best interest of both sides to continue doing the hard work at the table to find a negotiated resolution.
In a blow to workers' rights, a federal judge struck down the Federal Trade Commission's ban on non-compete agreements just 2 weeks before it was set to take effect, after ruling the FTC did not have the authority to issue the ban. The new rules would have barred companies from preventing workers from working for a rival or starting their own business. Some 30 million U.S. workers are subject to non-compete agreements. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is widely expected to drop out of the presidential race Friday and endorse Donald Trump. RFK Jr. is addressing his supporters in Phoenix, Arizona, Friday. Trump's also scheduled to be in Arizona. RFK Jr. initially launched his campaign as a Democratic challenger to President Biden before running as an independent, but recent reports say he courted both Harris and Trump for a future job if he dropped out of the race. On Tuesday, Jack Schlossberg, grandson of John F. Kennedy and cousin of RFK Jr., addressed the DNC and declared his support for the Harris-Walz ticket. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency, Breaking with Convention. When we come back, uncommitted delegates and their allies are staging a sit-in outside the convention hall after the DNC and the Harris campaign denied their request for a Palestinian-American to speak on stage at the convention. We'll hear some of their voices. Stay with us.
For the picket signs, pray for the Gaza skies in the dead of night. All the forgotten ones, pray for peace. Pray for a quiet mind. All my life anniversaries, all the adversities, pray for life. Don't talk anymore, I don't know what for. Ain't it plain to see? Love is all we need. Can we talk a little more? Use our words over war. If you hear my plea, will you rescue me?
Delivered by Iman Jordan. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency, Breaking with Convention. We're broadcasting from the studios of CAN TV here in Chicago. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Hi, Nermeen.
Hi, Amy. The third night of the Democratic National Convention on Wednesday was headlined by Minnesota Governor Tim Walz formally accepting the Democratic Party's vice presidential nomination. The evening featured a host of celebrity speakers and prominent Democrats. But the most solemn portion of the evening was an address by the parents of an American-Israeli hostage, Hirsch Goldberg Polan, who has been held in Gaza since October 7th. Polan's parents, John Polan and Rachel Goldberg, wore pieces of tape with the number 320, marking the number of days their son has been held hostage. As they spoke, the convention hall was largely silent. In his remarks, John Polan also called for an end to the war in Gaza.
There is a surplus of agony on all sides of the tragic conflict in the Middle East. In a competition of pain, there are no winners. In our Jewish tradition, we say, Kol Adam Olam Umlo'o. Every person is an entire universe. We must save all these universes. In an inflamed Middle East, we know the one thing that can most immediately release pressure and bring calm to the entire region, a deal that brings this diverse group of 109 hostages home and ends the suffering of the innocent civilians in Gaza.
John Polan, the father of American-Israeli hostage Hirsch Goldberg Polan, addressing the Democratic National Convention last night. At the same time, delegates with the Uncommitted Movement received word that their request for a Palestinian American to address the convention was denied by the DNC and the Harris campaign. Uncommitted delegates were selected in state Democratic primaries earlier this year to call for an end to the Biden administration's backing of Israel and its assault on Gaza. After the Democratic National Committee denied their request for a Palestinian-American speaker on stage, uncommitted delegates and their allies staged a sit-in outside the convention hall. They remain throughout the night. The sit-in is still ongoing at the time of this broadcast. These are some of the voices from that sit-in last evening, beginning with the co-founder of the Uncommitted Movement, Abbas Alawea.
The Democratic Party is actively suppressing a Palestinian American from speaking from this stage. We urge the Democratic Party to reconsider.
I've worked across the aisle. I've written bipartisan bills. I was a congressional staffer. I'm proud of it. I'm proud that I was a Democratic congressional staffer. And so, as part of our negotiation with the DNC, we gave them a list of names. One such name is a Palestinian American elected representative from Georgia. Her name is Ruwa Rumman. If for some reason Ruwa didn't pass the vetting, then I want to know what the issue is. I want Ruwa to speak.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Ruwa Rumman. I am a Georgia state representative. I'm an elected Democrat. I come from the swing state of Georgia. We are not here to create any divisions. As my colleagues have said over and over and over again, the only reason we are here, the only reason we are here is to ensure that Donald Trump will never make it to the White House and save the lives of the people that we love. It's about the fact that today I watched my party say our tent can fit anti-choice Republicans, but it can't fit an elected official like me. I do not understand. I do not understand why being a Palestinian has become disqualifying in this country. I don't know how much more we have to prove. All of us have decade or more long resumes working for this party because we know that this party is the only one that's ever tried to meet the promise of our country. We are here to literally save the soul of our party. I do not understand why that is a bad thing. This would have truly and sincerely been a beautiful gesture to show this party cares about the cries of an Israeli child the same way they care about the cries of a Palestinian child. We are not asking for too much. All we wanted was to be on that stage and show people desperate for hope there is something to hope for.
My name is June Rose. I came into this week feeling hopeful. When President Biden was the nominee, I felt hopeless. Hopeless because our presidential nominee, who we are putting forth to take on Donald Trump, was enabling a genocide of Palestinians, was providing the bombs used in the genocide of Palestinians, and hopeless because I felt, like so many others, that he had no chance of beating Donald Trump anyways. And then Vice President Harris became the nominee, and I felt hopeful for the first time in a long time. I felt like we might beat Donald Trump. And then I heard her speak about Palestinians. I heard her speak when Benjamin Netanyahu, a genocidal leader, came and visited this country. And disgracefully, Congress let him speak in front of it. And I heard empathy in her voice for Palestinian suffering. And I thought, maybe we're turning a page. Maybe we'll get something different. What is a bigger issue in this moment than in the midst of a housing crisis where no one can afford a place to live, in the midst of a climate crisis posing an existential threat to our planet, when every single dollar in this country is meaningful towards creating the world that we want to see, and instead, billions of dollars going to kill children across the world, billions of dollars instead of addressing the crises in front of us, are going to tear families apart, where generations are wiped off the map, where children will have to go the rest of their lives without knowing another member of their family? Is that what we pay taxes for? Is that what we elect these people to do?
My name is Sabreen Ada, and I'm an uncommitted delegate from Washington State, a Palestinian uncommitted delegate from Washington State. To know as a Palestinian, my voice, my people's voice, is not important enough to be on the main stage is heartbreaking. The Palestinians in Gaza are suffering the most unimaginable circumstances. These are teachers, these are doctors, these are artists, these are dreamers. They deserve to live. All four of my grandparents were survivors of the Nakba from a village called Al-Malha in Palestine. My family still lives in a refugee camp, internally displaced in the West Bank to this day. They live under occupation to this day, since 1948. How many more Palestinians need to die until the American government stops sending arms to kill them? What more do we have to do? What more do we have to do? They have our names on the lists of the dead. They have our sisters' names, our brothers' names, our parents' names, our grandparents' names.
Asma Muhammad, I'm the co-chair of the Minnesota delegation of uncommitted delegates. Every single one of us who are sitting here have been getting calls and texts from our family members and people from our community, the nearly million voters who voted for us to be here as delegates, asking what's happening, asking for updates on what is happening, because they asked for us to be here. They elected us as delegates to be here to represent them inside. They wanted a reason to support the vice president. They wanted us to leave this convention saying Vice President Harris supported a plan for a ceasefire, and she did that by putting in an arms embargo. She did that by stopping the bombs. Imagine all 1 million, nearly 1 million of those voters watching right now and saying, that party isn't representing me right now. I want you to imagine you are a young Muslim woman watching right now. You're a Palestinian watching right now. You're a young anti-Zionist Jew watching right now. You're a Gen Z voter watching right now, wondering, how is this party representing me in this moment? Wondering, where do I fit in? When I was organizing in Minnesota, we got 46,000 votes in just 8 days. Imagine if we had the 3 weeks that Abbas had in Michigan, I imagine we'd have a lot more.
We do it.
Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted. At this convention, I brought a young Muslim woman with me who the other day said, Asma, sometimes it feels like they don't even want us here. I challenge you, Vice President Harris, to make Palestinians, to make young Muslims, to make the anti-Zionist Jews, to make Gen Z voters welcome in this party, to remind everyone that this tent is big enough for all of us, to remind everyone that we can be the Democratic Party that stands up for human rights, the one that I know and love, because I know the Republican Party does not give a damn about me.
Right.
I know that this party is the only party that can and will uphold human rights. I want a reason to believe in this party again. Give us that reason, Vice President Harris.
Dan Engelhardt, it's a big night for Minnesota. I'm from Minnesota, uncommitted delegate. In 2002, I was staff. We had a paid canvass for the late Senator Paul Wellstone, who voted against the Iraq War, and the polls went up. Tim Walz likes to talk about Paul Wellstone. They need to have that courage and realize that people respond to that. And we all know that was a horrible mistake, the Iraq War. And this is exponentially worse, what's happening with our bombs and our money. With a little over 70 days left, this is about winning. I've been doing a lot of talking to delegates here and getting people to sign that letter and come on support. Somebody in the elevator said she was really having a hard time, and she finally got it out and said, so do you think Palestine matters more than saving democracy? And I said, they are connected. They are absolutely connected. That's what this is about.
Now the vice presidential pick is our governor, Tim Walz. You're going to hear him and people from Minnesota talk a lot about Paul Wellstone. And the famous quote, we all do better when we all do better. That should include Palestinians. I say that to the vice presidential pick. Governor Walz, if you're hearing this, we all do better when we all do better, and that includes Palestinians.
I've got June Rose right here. We became quick siblings through this work. I didn't know June before. I didn't know that June lived in Israel and that I had a very different experience, and that we would end up in this moment speaking up for our siblings who are no different than June and I in Gaza. We make siblings with people who are willing to put themselves on the line, who are willing to put their names on the line, who are willing to take the professional risk to do the right thing. One such sibling I've gained very quickly, Lily Greenbrook Call, who will tell you herself who she is and why she's here. Lily.
Well, I saw the live stream and I had to come down and join all these brave folks. My name is Lily Greenberg Call. I am a Jewish American. I was a Kamala staffer, and until May 15th, I was an appointee in the Biden-Harris administration, and I resigned in protest of the president's unconditional support for Israel's assault on Gaza.
Thank you.
I resigned because for 10 months, I watched the president who was my boss, who I was supposed to represent, this administration that I was supposed to serve, serve the American people through this administration. I watched the president make my community the face of this war machine. I watched him use our safety and abuse the death of my friends on October 7th. I'm very proud to be a Jewish person. It's the first thing I identify as. It is the most important part of what makes me a person. And I grew up in a really beautiful Jewish community, very strong. Went to Jewish day school for 20 years. Did Torah study. Chose to do tech study in high school in my free time because I was a nerd. And I grew up learning that Judaism, at the end of the day, is about a lot of things. We can't really agree on anything. That's kind of our whole shtick. We say two Jews, 10 opinions. The word Israel means wrestle with God. That's the name Jacob was given after wrestling with angels. I learned that to be Jewish is to question authority, is to know that laws and the people who make them do not always have your best interests at heart, because we have, as Jewish people, know what it is like to be persecuted, know what it is like to be victims of state-sponsored violence, know what it is like to have an entire country dedicate itself to your extermination. That is what I learned about being Jewish, that because of that obligation, you stand up for other people.